This is it, guys. This is our last sermon in the series. It was a pleasure being on this journey with you, examining the emotions of our Lord Jesus. Let's do the psalm together, yeah? The law of the Lord. Okay, ready? One, two, three. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. You may now take your sweets. Last several weeks, we've been examining the emotions of Jesus, and we talked about how in examining Jesus's human feelings, we actually have a path or a grid that we can follow in how we are to shape and form the emotions in our lives. And we talked about how it's not just the right thinking that's required. And it's not just the right behavior. We talked about how we need right or righteous feelings in order for our spiritual formation to take place properly. Amen? We also talked about how most of our problems in life are not really due to lack of reasoning or lack of logic, right? Most of us know how to process information and situations accurately. Our big issue is that our emotions get in the way. Our emotions take us away from what we know is wise or good. And so we said, let's examine how Jesus responds in different situations and pressures in life. And in doing so, maybe we too can be inspired and ask God for help and say, Lord, change my heart too. Help me to feel the way you do about things. If you hate something, help me to hate it. If you love something, help me to love it. If you enjoy and delight in something, help me to do that too. But do not leave me to my own vices. Do not leave me to my own feelings, for my feelings lead me astray. Can I get an amen? So today, we're going to talk about joy. And if I can put up the list of feelings that we've examined, these are the basic feelings of the human self, okay, if there is that list. And if there isn't, there isn't. Okay, there isn't. Yeah, so good luck. All right. But we talked about anger, we talked about compassion, we talked about Jesus when he was surprised, and we talked about all these emotions that were very explicitly said in the book of Mark. But today, I want to go after a moment where we know for sure God the Father was happy. And it's explicitly said in the book of Mark that he's happy or delighted. Now, we know implicitly many, many parts, many, many situations in Mark, we know Jesus is happy. Jesus is full of joy, right? And we can read into these situations. But I want to go back to the beginning where we see it very clearly stated that God was actually very happy and joyful, okay? And so will you turn with me, if you have your Bibles, okay, to Mark chapter 1. It's page 8 for you guys, okay? Page 8. How many of you guys enjoy the printed Bibles you received or that you bought? It's good, right? So keep them, keep bringing them. When we go into the season of Lent, we're going to keep using that, okay? The preaching team is going to use that exact Bible translation and that journal. So keep using that, okay? But Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, page 8, okay? In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Everyone say baptized. Yeah. So he's getting baptized by John. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven came from heaven, and it said, "You are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Yeah. With you, I am well pleased. God himself is speaking when Jesus, his son, is being baptized. He comes out of the water. We see like a dove, the Spirit of God landing on Jesus as a sign of that he is the anointed King of God. And then the people there hear a voice and God says, "This is my son. I'm very well pleased." In other versions, it says it like this. "In you, I find happiness. I take delight in you, or you bring me great joy." God is very, very excited and happy at this moment. And he's happy about his son, Jesus. There is a big difference between the feelings we have in love and feelings we have in liking something. You see, all of us want to be loved, right? All of us need to be loved. But you know what? All of us desperately desire to be liked. Joy and delight and happiness has to do with liking something. When you're dating, or some of you are like, "I hope that day comes soon," you're dating or you're about to marry or whatever, and you're asking your woman or your man, "Hey, do you love me?" And they say, "I love you. I really do." And then you go, "But do you like me?" And they go, "Not really." What are they saying? Can love exist without liking? It actually can. You ask any parent here, if they're honest with you, they'll say, "Today I love my kids, but I surely do not like them today." Love is a commitment. Liking is a feeling. It's a delight. Our God not only wants to love, which that's who he is. He naturally loves and commits to you. But our God deserves to be happy with us. Hello? You can never, nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. But we can do things that can make God go, "I don't really like you today." I hope you catch what I'm saying. Why is this so important? Why is this relevant? How do you know, PB, that God is actually saying he is liking his son, not just committed and loving his son? Here's why. This prayer, or this proclamation that you hear the Father saying when he says, "This is my son, okay, in whom, this is my beloved son in whom I love," right? Or "I'm well pleased." That saying is actually a very well-known coronation saying in the Jewish culture. When somebody is anointed king, this is what's proclaimed over that king. You'll see it in Psalms 2 here. The coronation of King David. Psalms 2 verse 7, it says, "You are my son, today I have become your father." So for the Jewish people, when they just saw Jesus rise from the water and they hear the voice of God say, "You are my beloved son," they immediately know this is not just God affirming and confirming that Jesus was sent by him. This is God the Father saying, "This is your new king." Or should I say, this is the king who came back to take his kingdom. But I want you to notice something, guys. Do you guys notice something? The first one says, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." It says nothing about pleasure. It says everything about acknowledging the position, acknowledging the fact that God placed this person in power. And so now we got to back this guy up. But it says nothing about how God delights in this person. But with Jesus, not only is he getting placed in that position of power, not only is God acknowledging that this is the king that you've all been waiting for, he's saying this to all of us. I am so happy that it's this kind of guy that is your king. The first one is, I'm committed to you, Israel. I promise you I'm going to protect you. I'm going to lead you. And I'm going to do it through a human king. Kings like King David. And I anoint them. But it doesn't mean I like them. You see, you don't want God to just tolerate you. You want God to celebrate you. You don't want God to say, I'm committed, I love you. Every day, I love you. Now, we know it's not that hard for him, for he is deeply loving, right? But don't you want to wake up knowing that you've moved God's heart? Don't you want to wake up and go, today, I can actually bring a smile to God? Now, I say this carefully, because many of us grew up in a performance-oriented culture where you're like, oh my gosh, now I gotta please God. Now he's gonna be, it's like my mom and dad, they were never happy with me. No, God is predispositioned. He already leans towards being joyful over you. He's already delighted in you. He's already in love with you. But that shouldn't make us settle. You see, when you find someone that you love and you're about to marry that person, you don't go, man, I'm so glad you made those vows. Now I can settle. I've done so many of your weddings, did I not? I literally could do a side gig called officiating weddings. All the DJs that you hire know me. All the wedding coordinators, they go, it's Pastor Brian again. And I'm here again. One of my guys are getting married. Right? But why am I bringing up weddings? When you do weddings and you guys prepare your vows and you're saying it to each other, I've never heard anyone say, now that I have this covenant where you and I are bind together in holy union, I can now chill. No. All of you make more promises to bring more and consistent smiles on your spouse's faces. That's what he's committed to do for us, and that's what we have the privilege of getting to do for him, to bring that delight to God. Amen? So the first side is, God is almost saying, I love you, I'm committed to you. When God is pleased, he's saying, I love you, I chose you, and I really like you. You make me happy. My oldest daughter is now, she's going to be 16, guys. It's a very terrifying time for me. 16, and she notices just boys galore. She just notices them boys. And she tells me about them boys, and I tell her how stupid they are and how stupid they look. She's always like, why can't you say anything nice about him? I go, look at him, he's stupid. Look at him, he's an idiot. But she always talks about the day, like someday, like, oh, daddy, I can't wait to bring that special person home to you to see. And I go, I can wait, you know? And she says, what kind of guy would you like for me to bring home? And then she has, of course, her own list, you know. She has like, you know, he needs to be this and that. And I don't want to embarrass her, because I notice some of you guys, after I preach about, I bring my kids into the sermon, you guys go immediately to my kids and tell them that I said stuff. You need to stop doing that, okay? But she has her list. And then one time she asked me, does he have to be educated? Do you want him to come from a really good family? So she has all these things that she's expecting me to say. And so I told her this. I said, you know, honestly, this is me being honest to you, daughter. I don't really care what he does. I don't really care how much he makes. I care about what kind of person he is. And daddy can tell right away. I can tell in 5 seconds. I want to know, is this man humble? Is this man honest? Is he self-aware? Is he kind? Is he respectful? Does he love his parents, or has he forgiven his parents? I want to know what kind of person you're bringing home. Hello? Because I don't want to say to your man someday, welcome to the family, son-in-law. I am now your father-in-law. I want to say, you are my son-in-law in whom I take delight. Hello? So I told my daughter Isabella, if he's not like that, don't bring him home, because I would choke him out. Okay? So what is it about Jesus that made God so happy? Well, Jesus says in himself, John 8, it says, he who sent me is with me. This is Jesus talking. He doesn't leave me by myself, because I always do what makes him happy. God delights in how you behave and what you do and what kind of person you're trying to become. You know why God loves or delights in Jesus so much? Jesus was obedient. Jesus was submitted. Jesus was humble. Jesus was wise. And Jesus was loving. There's all these attributes that God liked about Jesus. But I think there's one fundamental thing that really made God the Father delight in Jesus. And I have to borrow Maya Angelou's quote for this. And you guys know how much I love Maya's quote here. She says this. She says, I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. Let me say that again. People are going to forget what you said, what you did, right? Many of you will walk out of here. The minute you walk out of those doors, you will forget the sermon. It's okay. But you will not forget how I made you feel. You will not forget how each other, you guys, made each other feel. I believe fundamentally, God delighted in his son, of course, because he was loving, humble, and all these attributes, but because Jesus, the way Jesus made him feel every day. Jesus moved God's heart every single day. God the Father loved how his son made him feel. So before we close today, I want you to know this again. God has feelings. Don't make him tolerate your life in love. Move him. Make him celebrate your life. Make him say things like, I liked how you lived today. I liked how you kept your mouth shut when you wanted to have the last word with your spouse in that fight. I love how you humbled yourself and did your best at your work, even though they don't always treat you right. I love how you give. I love the secret life of generosity. It moves me because I see it every day. I want you to know God not only sees you, but he feels you. Hello? So let's become a church that makes him feel very happy. Amen? So, as we end, I want to deal with something from this whole series that I think is worth mentioning. Many of you, as we're going through each week with each emotion, you might have said something like this. Phoebe, this is great. I love how Jesus responds righteously with a righteous feeling every time we talk about it. When he's supposed to be happy, he's happy. And when the situation deserves anger, he does that. He does everything right. But you are beginning to maybe feel this pressure like, I don't know if I can do that. This series is not designed to expose how you don't have the feelings that Jesus has. This series is not to shame you. This series is not to get you to go like, wow, when I'm under pressure, I act this way and I feel this way when Jesus feels that way. I'm so far off from how Jesus does things or feels things. This sermon series is not shaped for that kind of response. This sermon series is an invitation to be living like Jesus to the point where you will respond naturally like Jesus. And here is the difference. Religion will tell you, now that you see these emotions and how Jesus acted, you must conjure up and practice these emotions yourselves. When something happens that is unrighteous, remember that sermon about Jesus' anger, how he gets angry when God's people prevent the world from seeing or accessing God? When you see that happening and you're like, but I don't feel anger, so I gotta feel anger like Jesus. And you're like, I don't feel it. What's wrong with me? No, I want you to do what Jesus did before the situation that pressed out that emotion from him. And here's what he did. And I'm going to tell you the secret. Are you ready? Say yeah. It's in scripture. This is what it says. This is what he did before these emotions were captured. Mark 1. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Mark 3, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. There's the withdrawing. Jesus is withdrawing. Mark 6, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, that they did not even have a chance to eat. Jesus is so busy. He's in such demand, right? He said to them, come with me, buy yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. I want to say something to you before we end this series. We are like sponges. And what you soak yourselves in when pressure and situations arrive in life, that begins to squeeze you. And what you've been marinating in and soaking in, that is the authentic feelings that will come out. Yeah. It doesn't happen at that moment. Jesus didn't go, guys, I see a lot of people are about to press in, I'm stressed out, let me pray right now. Let me pray right now for peace. Father God, you see all those, here they come, Lord, here they come. Oh, they stress me out. Oh my God, they're so demanding, they're always touching me. Who's touching me, always wanting something. Here they come. Lord, here. Hey, guys, how's it going? Hey, I'm so glad I'm here. Hey, I'm going to pray for you. Hey. And then afterwards, he goes away and I'm like, oh, man, Peter, can you believe how demanding this town was? Like, oh, the real side comes out. No. He was away. Deeply soaked in his Father's presence. He was in prayer. And then, when the pressure came, when the troubles came, the right feelings came out because he was in the right place marinating all day. Most of our problems with our feelings is not that we don't know what righteous feelings are needed at a certain moment. The problem is We can't seem to dig them up and muster them up at that moment because we haven't been soaking in God's presence. So if you're moved at all by this series, I want you to take it as an invitation to get away by yourselves early morning or whenever you can to a solitary place. It cannot happen in 1 minute. I'm sorry, I hate to put a time on it, which I'm not going to, but it just can't happen in one. Hey, we're good, Lord, we're good. I feel you, yes. And then you go to work and something happens, pressure, anxiety, fear, injustice, something happens at work and you're like, man, why am I not feeling what I'm supposed to be feeling at this moment? Why am I not directed internally in righteousness and right feelings? It's because you haven't soaked. You know, have you ever spent time with people older than you or wiser than you? Please say you have, okay? I have some mentors that are really old. You guys know some of them. You guys have met, I shouldn't say that, huh? Because if they watch this, they're gonna be like, Brian, that's how you think of me? But you guys have met Bishop Todd, the Anglican bishop. He old dude. He's an old man, he's been around. He's been through many trials and hardship, planted many churches. He was the head of a national ministry called Alpha. This guy has seen the ups and downs of ministry. You guys also know Mary Kate, Dr. Mary Kate Morris, Dean of George Fox University, right? She's a mentor. She's spoken here before. She has planted 13-some churches in her life, and now she's a dean of a seminary. She is experienced. Can I tell you something? When I call them and talk to them, I most often do not walk away with clear answers. I don't. I'll come with problems because I'm a good student. So I'll have all these things written and I go, today I want to talk about this. Today I want to talk about that and this person and this problem and this situation, this stressful moment. And I lay it and they start talking and we start talking. But rarely do they ever give me an answer. But something about sharing with them and them sharing their journey and us just spending time together, something happens to my soul. It begins to calm down. And after having soaked in the presence of my mentors, I walk away, what? With the same problems that await me. But I'm the one that's changed. I now approach it with a different spirit. Less anxious, less nervous, less about protecting myself, and more keen on listening to what the Holy Spirit says and wants. And all of you need this. We do foolish things and feel unnecessary things when we do not soak in the presence of God. So I want to leave you with two things. The first thing is, some of you are like, well, I don't even know how to spend time with God or even know how to pray. I want to send you to our site here, our link in our website. I think we have that. Do we have that? The QR code or the link to our prayer, you can do it. Yeah, it's there, I promise. There is a resource page, it's gonna come up soon. There's a resource page on our website, and under resources, you will see a bunch of prayer packets and links, and even prayer forms that will help kickstart your prayer time with God. We designed it so that it's easy enough for you to enter into the presence of God yourself. This is the most important thing you'll do your week or your day. You got to get yourself marinating in God's presence. because I don't know about you, but every day has its troubles. And every day aims to squeeze that thing out of you. And either life is going to come out of you or lots of death is going to come out of you. And it all depends on where you've been sitting and soaking. And it's not up still. So, do that, okay? It's under resources in our website. You can't miss it. Go there and you'll see all these prayer helps. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to text in your prayer requests. Okay? And text in your desire for someone in the church to pray for you. Here's why. When you have somebody you know in this church is praying for you, you yourself will want to go abide with God. When you know that no one is praying for you or no one is sitting with you in God's presence, you are tempted not to do it. Hello? Friday night, we had orthopraxis, right? Our discipleship journey. And I looked over to Mike Hahn. He's one of the students now in orthopraxis. And he's in my jiu-jitsu school. And Saturday morning, the day after, in the morning, we have class at 9 a.m. where we exercise and we roll and we battle. Knowing myself, I looked at Mike and said, tomorrow morning, I'm going to make every excuse not to go. So here's what I need you to do, Mike. And he's like, what do you need me to do, PB? I need you to shame me. Text me in the morning and be like, yo, where are you, PB? Where are you, PB? And he did. And I woke up, and guys, I tell you what, I did everything in my power to think of an excuse. I was like, yo, man, I just didn't get your text in time. Nope, he did it in time. And knowing that he's there, hello? Knowing that he's abiding in that space challenged me to go. And so I went. So, text in your prayer and say, hey, this week, prayer team, please pray for me that I will abide with God. I have a hard time praying. I don't even know how to pray. Can you pray for me? Because I want to soak in God's presence. Because I don't want to just know that there are righteous feelings to be had. I want to be the kind of person that when life happens, those righteous feelings will come out of me. That's the kind of person I want to be. And right now I want to tell you, they're going to pray for you. How do I know? I'm on that team. Last week, you guys sent in prayers, right? We prayed for you. And then we met as a prayer team at my house, and we prayed for you again. We are in full faith and confidence that God's going to answer our prayers right now. So listen, don't do it by yourself. Text it in. Help me pray. It's not embarrassing. Most of us have a hard time doing it. Amen? Let's pray. Spend some time in prayer yourself. Jesus, I want to be the kind of person you delight in, not just the kind of person you appointed and you're committed to. I want to hear the Father say, I take delight in you. I don't want to just have you love me. I want you to like me. Because of how I live, how I think, and how I feel. Will you draw me away from the crowd? Take me to that solitary place. I will practice prayer. I will learn to talk to you. But most of all, I'll just be with you. I'll just soak in your presence. Even if it means I'm just quiet before you. Come, Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord. Help us to find that quiet space attractive in this very noisy world. Help us to be attracted to that quiet space with you. I thank you for this series. I thank you that we got to see a side of you that we often do not get to examine. Jesus, we so admire you. We so love you. We love that you kept the Father first. We love that you had the wisdom to soak in your Father's presence every day. And we love that these moments are recorded in Scripture. We love it because it makes you so human. Now draw us to that place. Teach us to pray. And I bless this church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. What a fun series. Great to go through it with you. We will see you next week.